The reality is that we're in a time of great uncertainty. And I recognize that. I see it really in my own life. I see it in our family as we try to navigate these waters. And so we just want to keep that in mind as we go through this crazy time. The reality is that we're not sure how this is going to end. We're not sure how long this is going to last. And quite honestly, sometimes we're not sure what to do with ourselves. A lot of the normal routines that we're involved in, the normal things that we enjoy doing, we're not able to do right now. Many in our congregation right now are working long hours, and I realize that. It's kind of a crazy time because some people are working crazy hours, and some people have no work that they're able to do, and this creates that tension among us. Many people right now in our congregation are in dangerous situations. We have people in our congregation that are a part of the testing for this virus. We have people in our congregation who are caring for people with this virus. And so we definitely want to lift these up in prayer as they go through their days, which are now much more challenging and much more frustrating for them. We also recognize that many in our congregation are quarantined at home right now. Many in our congregation are not able to get out and do the things that are normal, and that creates a sense of anxiety. It creates a sense of worry, and when we're taking in the news and we're seeing the story, we're seeing this virus explode across our nation, we see those numbers, and it does create quite a bit of anxiety. And there's frustration because plans are canceled. Life as we have known it has been canceled. I know I've wrestled with this a lot this week. This is typically the busiest week of my year in district activities. I'm chair of the Board of Ministry for the state of Iowa, and so I have to process paperwork. For this year, we had 34 applicants for district license or ordination, and typically, there's a lot of people sharing in that work, and we lead into a meeting that took place yesterday. And this year, everything was different, and so everything took me twice as long to do as normal. And so this has been a crazy week for me. And yet, the frustration is that we don't even get to see one another. We're trying to handle that business via the internet. And I know many of you are in similar situations where the things that you're used to doing, you're trying to find new ways to do them, and that creates frustration. I also realize that this is a time of uncertainty for many who have been laid off. There are several in our congregation this week alone that have been laid off. Several have had to shut down their businesses and trying to figure out, you know, how are the bills going to be paid? There's uncertainty about all of this and the desire to work, the desire to do what we need to do. And as I said last week, none of us would choose what we're now facing. This is not something that we would set out to intentionally embrace and say, you know what, I really want us to do this. I really want us to experience this kind of quarantine. None of us would choose that. But I want to remind us that there's an opportunity for us to grow through this challenge. There's an opportunity for us to be shaped by this time that we have so that we can better engage life once we return to the normal routines. But we need to live intentionally during this time. We need to make sure that we're not just... The words that we have read in the past, I think, have a different meaning for us as we're reading through them in this time. And last week we looked at a passage from the beginning of Philippians that spoke to us differently than how we had experienced it before. This introductory prayer that Paul prayed for the people in Philippi. And today I want us to look at the end of Philippians, because I think there's a passage that we're probably even more familiar with, yet a passage that speaks powerfully to where we're at this time in our culture. So if you want to turn in your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to be starting with verse 1. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and I long to see you. Dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I received for my work. Now I appeal to Eudoia and Syntyche, please, because you belong in the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they have worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, those names who are written in the book of life. And then here's where Paul kind of changes gears. He says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. These are familiar words to us. They're words that we have read over the years. Many of us have parts of this memorized. I know that I do. And yet they're words that speak to us differently today because of the experiences that we're facing. Paul is starting to wrap up his letter to the church in Philippi, which, just FYI, for preachers, usually doesn't mean anything. When we say in conclusion, that means that we're about ready to take off into another topic. But Paul starts out his wrapping up phase here by reminding them of the distance and reminding them of his affection for them in the distance. Very aware of the distance between them. And he remembers their friendship together. And then we see this really weird section that has very little to do with us, but had a lot to do with what was taking place in the church in Philippi. There were two ladies who were very strong leaders in the church, but had a disagreement between them. And we don't know what they were disagreeing about. But it was a significant enough disagreement that news made its way to Paul, who was in prison, and he said, ladies, we need to solve this. The truth is that disagreements happen. Community is not easy. We have variations in the way that we approach life, and we have different personalities that cause us to approach things differently. And as we approach these things, the reality is that we're going to disagree. And I would say that disagreements tend to happen most among people who are passionate about the same thing. They just have a different way of viewing it. And sometimes we need help in working through those disagreements. And Paul is calling here for someone to help them as they work through this. Then Paul changes gears. And he says something that I'm sure frustrated the people in Philippi. He says, rejoice. Have you ever been in one of those moods where you're just angry at life and angry at the world, and someone comes along and says, hey, smile, and you just want to deck them? No, I don't want to smile right now. I don't want to think positive thoughts right now. I'm angry. And we're just not ready to go there. And yet Paul is telling us, right after he talks about conflict, to rejoice. Now keep in mind that Paul is writing this letter from prison. He's not in a situation that is ideal for him. Paul is possibly in chains. We know he was enchained in some of his prison experiences. The prisons in those days were not sanitary. There were rats and mice running around collecting any bits of food that were available. The prison system didn't feed you. You had to have friends bring you food or else you didn't get to eat. It was a crazy, difficult situation for Paul. And he was writing to a group of people who were in the midst of a difficult situation. We don't know the exact circumstances that they're facing. We just know that Paul addresses in the beginning of the letter that they're going through a difficult time, and he knows that. Yet he reminds them to rejoice in the midst of that challenge, not just once, but twice. I can remember being a part of a Bible study in Kansas City when Janelle and I faced an extremely difficult time in our lives. Some things had happened to us from outside that we had no control over that were just overwhelming us and very difficult for us. And I was at this Bible study with a group of guys gathered around a table in a machine shed restaurant. And as we were around the table, one of the gentlemen looked at me as I'd shared a little bit about what we were facing. And he said, "I know I'm sitting across the table so I can share this with you and you won't be able to reach up and hit me, but you really need to rejoice." And I kind of sat back in my chair and I really did not want to hear what he had to say, but he said, "The Bible tells us that we're to rejoice when we face situations like this. We're to rejoice when we face challenges." I didn't want to hear that, but it was the truth. Paul says that as we're rejoicing, that we need to be considerate in all that we do. A part of our rejoicing is to take us out of the pits of despair and remind us that we have hope that goes beyond what's immediately in front of us right now at this moment. And that shows in the ways that we are considerate to others. The way that we treat others in difficult situations is our witness to them. And Paul reminds us that we can rejoice because there is a better day coming. We talked about this last week, and Paul reminded them at the beginning of this letter, there's a better day coming, a day when Christ will return and when all things that are wrong in this world will be made right. And we need to be reminded of that better day coming. And then Paul gets to the meat of this. And he says, when you're worrying, when you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling overwhelmed, don't worry. What? How can we not worry? Look at the world around us. But Paul says, pray about everything. Prayer is an interesting thing. It's an opportunity for us to commune with the Most High God. It's an opportunity for us to share our requests with the God of the universe. And it's an opportunity for us to be reminded that we're not the God of the universe. I think that's one of the things that we're all experiencing right now. We are so used to being in control of everything, and now we're worried about whether or not we're going to find toilet paper. We're so used to being able to get what we need when we need it and not have to worry about things, and right now we have to worry about things. But Paul tells us to not worry. Instead of worrying, instead of letting that anxiety destroy us, pray about everything. There are two parts to the prayer that Paul describes. First of all, tell God what you need. Just as in a conversation with one another, we would say, you know, I really need this right now. We're instructed to call out to God and say, God, I need this right now. Some of us may be saying the prayer, God, I need toilet paper to be on the shelves when I go to the store. Some of us may be saying, God, I need a phone call from somebody. Some of us may be saying, God, I just need to experience your peace right now because I feel so overwhelmed. And then there's the second piece of this prayer, which is thanking God for all he has done. I had to go through this earlier this week, and at least one other person texted me the same thing. They had to remind themselves of their blessings in the midst of this time of chaos. It's easy for us to be overwhelmed with the realities of what we're facing and forget how blessed we are, to forget the fact that we have things that allow us to survive this. We have relationships. We have the technology that allows us to stay in touch that they didn't have the last time this type of pandemic swept across the world. We're blessed. Even in the midst of our struggles, we're blessed. And Paul says, then you will experience God's peace. Not just in saying, I need peace, but in praying and sharing with God what we need and then thanking Him for what He's done, then we experience His peace. And it's a peace that exceeds our understanding, or as the children's song that we used to sing, peace that passes understanding down in my heart. It's peace that you can't explain in a time of chaos. It's a peace that doesn't make sense to the world around us. It's His peace which guards our hearts and our minds. It's His peace. Now the phrase that Paul uses there for guarding our hearts and minds, I've shared this before, but I think it's powerful for us. The phrase that Paul uses for guarding is the same phrase that would refer to the legions of Roman troops that were guarding Philippi. Now, Philippi was a gold mining town. They had gold mines there. And it was also on the edge of the Roman Empire, meaning that it was up in the mountains, and on the other side of that mountains was a land that wasn't always Roman. It was Europe. And so there was always this fear that the Europeans would come across and try to take what the Romans had and to try to take Philippi and the gold mines. So Rome always had legions of troops stationed in Philippi to protect that city. So when Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians, they understood what he was saying when he used this word. He's saying, just as the legions of Roman soldiers protect you from whatever may come across the mountains, when we pray, we experience God's peace, which protects us from whatever may come at us. Now, it doesn't say that we won't face difficulties. It doesn't say we won't face challenges. It says that we will experience God's peace in the midst of them. His peace will guard our hearts and minds. And then Paul says one final thing. Keep your mind on the positive things, because the world is full of negativity, but we can't let those negative things consume us. In our world today, the negativity is coming at us at a breakneck speed. We see it everywhere that we turn because we keep turning to our devices. The negativity is everywhere. We see the negativity when we try to go to the store, or we see the negativity when we try to place an online grocery order and we can't get it done because they only have so many slots in a day. We see the negativity when we turn on the TV and we see the news broadcasting their take on what's happening. But Paul says something very important for us to be able to maintain the peace that God gives us is that we have to fix our thoughts on what is true. I think that's a powerful reminder to us in this day of social media, and there's a lot of stuff out there that we can share, and only a third of what is out there is true. We need to be reminded to keep our thoughts fixed on what is true, what we can verify, and not get caught up in the what ifs, and not get caught up in the blaming games, especially in a time of pandemic. Our world today is divided, and we know that. As Christians, Paul says we are to be considerate in all that we do, or allow our consideration to show to the world around us in all that we do. Especially in a pandemic, I want us to be cautious to not spread the negativity, but instead focus on the things that bring hope. Paul says, think about what is honorable, what is right, what is pure. Think about what is lovely, what is admirable, things that are excellent and worthy of praise. We need to be reminded to keep our thoughts fixed on the positive. We need to be reminded that we have hope in times where we feel overwhelmed. God is at work in this world, even though things are crazy for us right now. God wants to be at work in our hearts, even though we feel frustrated right now. We need to keep our minds on the positive things. I would challenge you to limit your social media intake. I would challenge you to limit your news intake. And I would challenge you to increase your intake of God and His Word. We're going to start talking on Wednesday night as we meet at 6, I think, is the time that I set, about how do we read our Bibles together? How do we read our Bibles alone? How do we understand what the Bible is? I would encourage you to make sure that we're taking in the good things, that we're taking in the truth, rather than just taking in what the world is trying to feed us. And then Paul says, put into practice what you have seen and heard in my life. And once again, he reminds them that the God of peace will be with them. We can't experience peace in this time if we're constantly feeding ourselves the negativity. We can't experience God's peace in this time if we're constantly feasting on the news. If we want to experience God's peace, and I believe we all desperately need to experience God's peace, we need to feast on what is true and on what is right, what is honorable. And I think these are all good reminders for us today as well. It is so easy for us to get caught up in worry. I find myself multiple times every day starting to worry about what if this and what if that and what if this and what if that. And we need to remember to pray about everything. Then the God of peace will guard our hearts and our minds. If we're trying to do this on our own but expecting to experience peace, it's not going to happen. The peace that we need right now is only available as we learn to lean into God, as we learn to bring our requests to Him and count our blessings. We cannot feel peaceful on our own because the world is crazy around us. Our peace comes when we bring our stuff, our realities to God. It's easy for us to get caught up in negativity. It's been easy for me as I've watched what's unfolded on the political stage this week. Frustration across both political parties because why are you fighting for this and why are you fighting for that? There's people who are really struggling right now. There's businesses that are closed. There's challenges that people face. This is not the time to fight about political things. And I found myself over and over again getting caught up in that negativity. And then God would speak to me somehow, whether it would be through the words of a song or a vision of nature that I would see on the TV screen, because that's what I watch on TV typically is nature videos or some of my own videos. We need to keep our minds focused on what is positive. And the God of peace will be with us. My prayer for us as a people has been that we would experience God's peace in this time, that we would be able to turn into Him and evaluate the lives that we've been living and see what things God wants to change in us as we approach this time. But I realize both in myself and in you that we will not experience the peace that God offers. We will not be able to look at our lives and say, how can we use this time for good if we're feasting on the negativity, if we're making everything about what we're seeing in the news. We need, desperately need, God's peace during this time. But we're only going to find it when we turn to Him. As we wrap up our time together,